Welcome to the PHP Serverless Profiles Podcast with your host, Bob Bloom. A production of South LaSalle. Welcome to my sixth episode of my PHP Serverless Profiles, plain English look at Franken PHP. Today is Wednesday, December 17th, 2025. PHP Serverless Profiles is my PHP passion podcast about serverless platforms and technologies, published twice a month, more or less. This is your podcast host, Bob Blue from Toronto. We organize the Greater Toronto PHP and Laravel Toronto groups. Head to gtaphp.org for info on our groups. It is with deep gratitude that I express my thanks to my intrepid sponsors of my PHP serverless project, of which this podcast is a part of, Toga Erkan and Luca Leah. I also want to thank my family for their amazing ongoing support of my PHP serverless project. Links referenced in this episode are listed in my notes at phpserverlessprofiles.com, episode 6. You can listen to this podcast on my website, RSS, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. We confirmed the date for our December Laravel Toronto meetup in November, but we did not have our presentation lined up. People do not commit to doing meetup presentations this time of year, around Christmas, without it being planned well ahead of time. With my ongoing podcast about Franken PHP, I decided that I should do a presentation about Franken PHP because I did not have a presentation booked. And do this based on what I am doing in my podcast. I plan on doing my presentation slides in a way that would work for doing a video on this plain English look into Franken PHP. However, seeing who RSVP'd and the fact that our meetup is on the Thursday before Christmas week, I had second thoughts about doing a regular lecture-style presentation. I foresee a bit of restlessness ahead of what might be a holiday week or a later week for people who are coming. Plus, in downtown Toronto, Thursday is the new Friday, which is a big reason for scheduling meetups on Thursdays. Another problem is the promise of plain English, a very laudable goal for sure, but who am I kidding? There's going to be plenty of tech talk. If I'm not careful, eye-glazing tech talk, and my lousy presentation skills will not be of help. Engagement would sure help things out. Inviting interruptions, encouraging discussion, dispensing with doing slides. Nothing wrong with slides on a screen. However, I'm worried that it could set the stage for a passiveness that I'm really trying to avoid. So I'm going to dispense with the slides, and instead I'm going to draw stuff on an erasable board. My super secret plan is to get attendees to go up to the board and draw things when they ask a question or say that I'm wrong. That's my cue, to try to give them the marker. Instead of standing next to them while they draw, I'll sit down, letting the focus change. Hopefully that will cure some of the engagement problems I'm foreseeing. Talking about Linux processes and threads and machine language and other assorted low-level stuff, it's too involved a topic for a presentation on the Thursday before Christmas week, but that's the topic. There's an interest in Franken PHP because the PHP Foundation supports it. I just think I have to keep things light. So I'm going to use this draft, this podcast draft, as my presentation outline. Now, I'm not an authority on Franken PHP. I'm just a regular PHP guy trying to grasp it. I'm embarking on a journey of learning, a journey that is taking me to a completely new, for me, programming language, and taking me to a bunch of technical stuff that I really don't have an inherent interest in learning. I am where I am in my personal journey of learning, which means I could be wrong. Maybe I'm dumbing down things too much into simplistic fantasies. There are multiple technical layers to Franken PHP. I am absorbing the technicals over time, not in a fell swoop. As a result, my understanding is deepening, but in the meantime, this is where I'm at. My usual way of learning, doing Google searches, reading docs, websites, blogs, watching videos, completely failed with FrankenPHP. Just could not make heads or tails of it. Couldn't I get past the terminology used to describe FrankenPHP? Was clued out with the overall technical language, especially because it seemed to allude to different contexts. Contexts that I was not discerning. I decided to do something that I had not done before. I tried out ChatGPT. It was a resounding success, an absolute breakthrough. I asked questions, I got answers. I asked more questions, I got more answers. This Socratic approach did me very well. For this presentation, I tended to use Gemini. I'm quite enjoying Gemini, but it took some doing. AI is just as aggressive with terminology and lexicon as anything else I've encountered. AI can be just as vague about context as anything else. It took some effort to prompt Gemini and ChatGPT to use plain English, take things step by step. It took a long time, hours and days, but it yielded a definite breakthrough. I started out double-checking Gemini by looking at source material, and that got to be ponderous. The more low-level the tech became, the more ponderous the looking at source materials became. Just this week, I have been referencing source code again, now that I'm getting a sense of what's going on. My goal is to understand the essence of what's going on, the nuances, the correct technical terminology, the minutiae. Is not important to me right now. Just understanding the reality of what is going on is challenge enough. My goal right now is definitely not how to program Go and not to be able to install FrankenPHP successfully. That's where I'm at. My goal is simple and profound at the same time. Just want to understand what the heck is going on. FrankenPHP's name and logo suggest the book Frankenstein. Frankenstein is a 19th century novel about a character named Victor Frankenstein. He built a person by stitching together different and unrelated body parts. He then infused his creature with life. And for me, this was certainly an important hint that FrankenPHP might be something different than what I'm used to, that it might be something that is comprised of other things. This hint opened my mind to expecting the unusual. And as a result, I journeyed down paths that I would not have otherwise taken. I've since concluded that FrankenPHP is not cobbled together from disparate parts conjured up from nefarious sources. It's certainly no monster. While a student at Brigham Young University, Matthew Holt was frustrated configuring servers such as Apache and Nginx that he was using for his CompSci assignments. He built some functions based on Go's HTTP package, and that grew into the Caddy server. The first public release of Caddy was in April 2015. In 2020, the project was acquired by ZeroSSL. In 2024, HID acquired ZeroSSL. HID is a leader in trusted identity solutions. FrankenPHP is a Caddy server, quote, add-on. FrankenPHP is itself not a server. It is a Caddy server, quote, add-on. And by add-on, I mean that FrankenPHP is a Caddy server module and provides additional features specific to using PHP with Caddy. The server capabilities of FrankenPHP come from Caddy. Now, Gemini is arguing with me about word choice, which has been doing the whole time I've been looking things up with it. It prefers to say that FrankenPHP is a specialized distribution of Caddy, whatever. The way I see it, there are two main aspects of FrankenPHP. There's a worker and compilation. Now, it is my opinion that it is very important to understand what is a Linux process in order to understand what FrankenPHP is doing and why it is so advantageous. To run a program, Linux needs a program to be in random access memory. Not all of the available RAM, just a piece of that RAM. A Linux process is comprised of that piece of RAM, plus all the internal accounting and administration of that piece of RAM. It does not really matter what program is in that piece of RAM. That piece of RAM plus its internal tracking is the Linux process, and Linux assigns it an ID number, which means that the word process here is a bit of a misnomer. I think of a process as a sequence of structured activity. Something is done step by step, and the steps are repeatable. I think of a process as a verb, but in this case, it's a noun. It's not an activity, it's a thing. It's the RAM plus internal admin. There's a lot of minutiae involved with the Linux process, but this is how I see it. This is how I conceive of it. For my own selfish needs, I failed to find a definition that was very precise and concise. There's a lot of descriptions and detail. So I came up with the fact that Linux process is a noun, simply the piece of RAM plus the accoutrements of its management. In order to run the first order of business is getting the program from its permanent storage into the Linux process. Then the instructions from that program can be given to the CPU. It is very important to me, to always state explicitly Linux. It's not just a process, it's a Linux process. When a program has something it needs done independently on its own that can run at the same time, that program can create a Linux thread. I think of a Linux thread as a piece of a Linux process with its own internal counting and management. A Linux thread allows a program to perform multiple tasks at the same time within a single process. Before Linux threads became the standard way of doing many things at the same time, when a program wanted to do something at the same time, that program would create a brand new, fresh Linux process. But the problem is that creating a fresh Linux process requires a lot of overhead, lots of memory, lots of internal accounting and admin, and takes time. Linux threads were introduced to allow the multitasking with less overhead. I always tell myself that a Linux thread exists inside a Linux process. I know that the word inside is not quite how the Linux mechanism implements threads, but sure is handy for me to think of it that way. It's been a fantastic conception when pressing Gemini to be more precise in its explanations. It's very important. I think it's very important to explicitly state Linux, a Linux thread. Google bought YouTube in 2006. Google Maps launched in 2005. When Google began working on its own new programming language, its search and AdSense were exploding. Linux threads were fast, but for Google-specific needs, fast was woefully inadequate. So Google created an entire subsystem in their new programming language to accomplish the scale that Linux threads could not provide. To achieve this scale, Google created its own thread subsystem. This proprietary thread subsystem is designed to work inside Linux threads. This proprietary thread subsystem employs the same concepts as the Linux thread mechanism. Consequently, the word thread is widely used in the parlance of the Go language. Personally, I have found it immensely helpful to say Linux thread and Go thread, even though Go thread really isn't used much. But lightweight thread is used quite a bit, and that usually refers to the Go thread. A Go thread exists inside a Linux thread. I repeat, a Go language thread exists inside a Linux thread. A Go thread is tiny. A lot of tiny Go threads can fit inside a single Linux thread. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. Kind of depends on the math. The Go subsystem of designating a function as running in a Go thread, plus creating the Go threads, plus the active management of the Go threads, it's called Go routines. Hey, that's how I see it. I see it this way because I need things spelled out. Go routine is typically a catch-all term referencing the entirety of the Go routine mechanism. But it's not conducive to coming in absolutely ice cold ignorant and getting a sense of what is going on. All a developer has to do to create a Go routine is designate a function with the reserve word Go. It is very purposeful by design that it be easy for a software developer to have a function run as a Go routine. The Go routine mechanism requires a very active management to work. This management is done by the Go runtime. Honestly, I thought, how can a compiled language also have a runtime? Just tells you where I am with this stuff. The Go runtime is a collection of compiled code that's embedded within every Go binary. It's embedded within every Go binary that manages Go routines, garbage collection, stack management, and other things. The Go runtime is a specialized intermediary between the Go code and the operating system. Okay, so back to the FrankenPHP worker. A FrankenPHP worker is a Go routine where PHP code is executed. The worker is a Go lightweight thread running inside a Linux thread. The PHP interpreter sits in the Linux process, not in the worker. However, the Go thread can use the PHP interpreter. It gets called from the Go routine and anyways, does it matter? The worker is created when FrankenPHP is started and is never deleted. It persists in memory. And yes, there's config options about the creation and management of the workers. But basically, the worker is created when FrankenPHP is started and it's never deleted. It persists in memory. The worker receives a request, runs the appropriate PHP code, and returns the output to, I'm going to say, the SIPI, the SAPI. Resets application state and then waits for the next request. Everything is running inside one single Linux process, which means it is fast. And that is the most important takeaway, perhaps. Everything is running inside one single Linux process, which means it is fast. I'm going to jump now to compilation because I think it explains a lot more. But the worker. Anyways. The FrankenPHP project did not create, nor does it maintain, a web server from scratch. The FrankenPHP's homepage at the very top says, the modern PHP app server written in Go. Is it reasonable that I took this to mean that FrankenPHP created and maintains a web server that arose from scratch in the Go programming language? Because when I first came into contact with FrankenPHP and I saw that, that's what I thought. And that's what I thought when I looked at the Roadrunner PHP app server. The Roadrunner homepage describes it as a high-performance PHP application server, load balancer, and process manager written in Golang. Roadrunner is an application server that is built by scratch by its project team. It's not a module or extension or any existing web server like Nginx, Apache, or Caddy. It was developed by a company to solve its own internal needs. Then released as open source in 2018. I assumed that FrankenPHP was a server, which is why I was intensely frustrated by these references to Caddy and entirely confused by all these references to Go. Why would a unified server program, talk about Caddy and Go? Don't you just install it, set the config, and that's it? What's the big deal? What difference does it make? What language it's programmed in. So, yes, the reference to Frankenstein was a big help to get me out of this assumption, got me to look under the hood to learn the different parts that are involved with Franken PHP. I've been debating whether to say little rant, and I'm not gonna. But it has been frustrating. I have no doubts whatsoever that not only would I have given up on learning Franken PHP, but I would have moved right away to looking at Roadrunner. I still have Roadrunner on my list, so stand by for that. The only reason I stuck with trying to understand Franken PHP is because the PHP Foundation is supporting it. And if this thing is that important to the PHP ecosystem, then I feel incumbent to take another shot at understanding it. And then it dawned on me that the reality is that Franken PHP is not a server. Caddy's the server. So what is Franken PHP? I like Gemini's answer. It embeds the PHP interpreter directly into a Go-based server. Okay, good answer, good start. The Caddy server does come with PHP, by the way. We could skip this entire Franken PHP thing and just use Caddy as is with its out-of-the-box PHP. And it says so on its homepage. But it uses a PHP FPM style way of handling PHP. Now, if you go on the homepage and you keep scrolling down, there is an explicit mention of Franken PHP with its logo. And it does not explicitly say Franken PHP is faster than what we offer out of the box, but boy, does it imply it. Now, the way I'm used to things in this context, I assume that Franken PHP is some kind of Caddy extension. You know, where you install Caddy, and then you enable the Franken PHP extension, and then you spend a couple of days actually trying to get it all to work. No, no, no. That's not how it works. The way it works is you gather all the relevant pieces and compile a brand new, fresh, customized, executable Go binary file. What do you mean? You compile it all down into an executable? I thought, when's it my responsibility to compile somebody else's server software? Well, Caddy does not have its own proprietary system for incorporating third-party customization. Instead, it relies on Go's own package system, which it calls Go modules. It's kind of like our composer. It organizes code into packages. You can put packages into GitHub. You can do versioning. How about compilation? I confess that I did not know what compiling code meant. Before I could understand Go's compilation, I had to understand what's compiling. The key thing is that the central processing unit understands one language, machine language. Machine language is a programming language CPU understands. It's comprised of instructions, and get a headache just thinking about it. So I'm skipping some stuff. By the way, I thought, is this the same as assembly language? And the answer is no. Assembly language is a way of describing instruction code by using letters as a short form representation of machine language instructions. So compilation does not create assembly language, it creates machine language. Go is a compiled language. The most widely used scenario of Go compilation is the self-contained binary, where the binary contains the code libraries and the Go runtime, all within the file. There are no references to external libraries. And the Go compiler is pretty strict. It won't finish the compilation process if there's things like unused variables, an unused library, type and consistency, etc., etc. The usual way of adding customizations to someone else's Go application is to recompile that application from source with WEN's customizations, as opposed to accepting a compiled application as is, and then introducing customizations by way of an application's internal extension system. So that the idea that someone might add PHP-specific customizations to Caddy by way of recompiling Caddy with these customizations, that's exactly how it's done in the Go ecosystem. And to encourage such recompiling and to make it easy for developers to recompile, Caddy maintains a separate repository for recompiling called xCaddy. And FrankenPHP makes use of xCaddy. So FrankenPHP is making use of tools that are already there. It's not stitching together weird things. It's using tools that exist for the purpose of what it's doing. Now, when Google was developing their Go language, Google had millions of lines of code of proven high-performance code written in C and C++. Now, Google could not just drop this legacy code just because now they have their Go language developed because they didn't want to be forced to rewrite everything from scratch in one fell swoop. So they built in a facility in Go that handles C. And it's called, this facility to handle C is called CGo. And PHP is written in C. And Go can handle C. And there's the link. CGo makes it possible for FrankenPHP to include the PHP interpreter directly in its final executable binary file. That's the secret. FrankenPHP brings together five major things into one single executable binary file. A custom server application programming interface, SAPI, that's written by the FrankenPHP team, and the PHP engine, and the Caddy server, and PHP extensions, and third-party Go modules that xCaddy includes. The FrankenPHP team created a custom program that talks to both the Caddy server and the PHP interpreter. This is FrankenPHP's custom server application programming interface. They wrote it mostly in Go. It receives the request from the server and passes it to the worker, where the application's PHP code is executed. A little bit of this custom SAPI code, though, is written in C in order to talk to the PHP interpreter. FrankenPHP compiles source code from four folders in the PHP source repo: the SAPI embed, Zend, main, and extension. It compiles source code from these four folders from the PHP source repository into one single static library file, which I think is called libphp.a. And FrankenPHP compiles libphp.a before running xCaddy because this is too many twists and turns with this process than can be handled really in Go. During compilation, CGo opens libphp.a, extracts the raw machine code, and then physically writes that raw machine code into the final executable file, and also handles the static links. You know, then it's just a matter of uploading this file to your DigitalOcean droplet or wherever you just upload it, follow a few steps and start the application. But you know what? There's a little more to that than meets the eye, I guess, and that is for another episode. Thank you for listening to my sixth episode of my PHP Serverless Profiles Plain English Look at FrankenPHP. My next episode is tentatively scheduled for Wednesday, December 31st. You have been listening to a South LaSalle production. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of South LaSalle, Bob Bloom, nor of the organizations represented. Links and materials discussed on air are available in the show notes for this show. Information contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not guaranteed. Podcasts are released under copyright. Rights are reserved. Email correspondence to the attention of Bob Bloom at bob.bloom@lasellesoftware.ca.